Yeah, I think it's important to kind of slow down at the beginning of program development, and really take the time to define the problems that you're trying to solve. So I think often it's, we need a training on X, Y, and Z, and you just jump in it and you build a training and send it out, and great, we got great attendance or great completion rates on our course, and then we move on to the next thing. Well, what problem did you actually solve? Was it a skill problem? Was it, a process problem? There's a hundred different reasons why, training needs to be implemented or why a program needs to be implemented. So I think if you take the time to really define what problem you're trying to solve, can you prove it's a problem with metrics? Then once the program actually ships, you can go back and say, okay, did we solve that problem?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast, brought to you by the Sales Enablement Collective. My name is Daniel O'Dowd, and I'll be sitting down with revenue and enablement leaders from around the world to find out what really makes them tick. From best practice tips to industry stories to the unique challenges that are part and parcel of the multifaceted role of sales enablement. On the show today is Emily Payne, who is a Sales Enablement Manager at 1Password. Thank you, Emily, for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
Awesome. So to kick things off, could you run through sort of your enablement background and how you've gotten to this current position at 1Password?
So I started in enablement about 9 or 10 years ago. And it was a really interesting time to kind of start my sales enablement career because there was really no definition for sales enablement then. Everyone was just trying to figure it out. I was working at quite a large tech company, and there was just a few sales leaders that got together and thought, we need to help our sellers, sell more and sell faster. And we're not really sure how to do that. So I came in and partnered with them and really put some structure around their enablement strategies and what onboarding looked like and how to, really support the sellers at all stages of the sales process. So it was a really interesting time to start and to just kind of make it up from scratch, which was really cool. So I worked there for a couple of years and then joined Shopify, which was a really interesting experience, and got to see, enablement at all different stages there, and all different kinds of strategies had to be put in place because the business was changing so rapidly. So that was a really cool experience too, to work there for about 7 years and really figure out what enablement could look like and at what stage of a business is maturity did we need to support our sellers in different ways. So that was a really cool way to learn on the fly all the different ways that enablement could really support a revenue team. And then I actually ended up taking a bit of a break from enablement for a few months and went and worked for another startup doing more talent development. And I realized very early on that I missed that enablement environment. And I really missed focusing in on revenue targets and partnering with sales leaders and really being able to see where my enablement strategies were making an impact on our revenue goals. So I quickly realized, maybe I wanted to get back into sales enablement and I didn't want to take that detour like I thought maybe I was going to. And then 1Password came up and I met a couple of the sales leaders here and the director of enablement and really, kind of fell in love with that sales environment that they have put together and really enjoy talking to different leaders and figuring out what stage of maturity the business was in and where they needed enablement support. And that really got me excited again to jump back into enablement. So I joined the 1Password team about 3 months ago. And it's been a great experience to, be back in a sales environment and be partnering with sales leadership and really, trying to help them reach all their goals.
That's awesome. I mean, first of all, congratulations. Still relatively recent, obviously only 3 months ago.
Thanks.
And the thing I want to ask you, I think, obviously, with the background that you've had and you've sort of almost seen it all in enablement and how it's developed, how do you define enablement and maybe how your definition has maybe evolved as you've sort of seen it grow and change over the years?
Yeah, surprisingly, it hasn't evolved that much because I keep my, definition of an enablement pretty broad because of the nature of the role and the nature of the projects that we work on. I really define enablement as whatever a sales or revenue org needs in order to be more efficient. So most of the time, that includes things like processes, tools, resources, knowledge, and skill development. Those are the core things that enablement really involves. And depending on, you know, which levers you're going to pull and which things you're going to prioritize, that all depends on where the business is at and what the business goals are. But keeping it in that kind of holistic view of enablement, I think no matter where you're implementing enablement strategies or where the business is at, whatever project you're working on will kind of fall in that broad definition.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I want to sort of follow up on that you mentioned on earlier is I think we have sort of listeners from companies of all different sizes and in big teams and in small teams. I'm wondering, how have you sort of seen enablement scale? Like, what sort of steps can you take to scale enablement as you've sort of been there, done that as it's grown? When you're scaling enablement, what are sort of things you're looking out for? What are maybe the things that you, you know, pieces of advice you give to other people? Because I think it's something that maybe people struggle to take that next step into scaling enablement with their organization.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, early stages of enablement, it's often focused on onboarding, mainly because, you know, teams bring in enablement specialists or program managers when they're growing their sales organization and hiring a ton of sales reps, and onboarding needs to be really solid, and you need to get the talent in the door and make sure that they're set up for success and that they're ramping really quickly. So oftentimes the first strategy of enablement is onboarding. But I think once you get that up and running and that's a solid program that doesn't require a huge lift, just more maintenance, then you can move into more of the strategic long-term programming, which is something that I always recommend sales enablement folks really try to prioritize. And that requires a great deal of partnership within the organization. You need to really understand what leaders are striving for, what the goals of the business are, you know, what are some short-term and long-term strategies that the, you know, more senior leaders are trying to implement, and where can enablement help? I think oftentimes the default when people are scaling sales enablement is, well, we'll just do training after training after training and just focus on skill development, which is really important depending on where your business is. But I think if you want to, you know, really set enablement up for success and for long-term partnership, it's really understanding those business goals and where enablement can kind of slot themselves in to be impactful.
For sure. And speaking on those partnerships, how have you sort of fostered those throughout your career? Because like I said, it's critical to, you know, cross-functional collaboration is such a big part of enablement. How do you ensure that you're getting buy-in from all the relevant stakeholders and that you can keep that buy-in going forward?
Yeah. So the first thing I do, especially when I'm joining a new organization, like I recently did with 1Password, is I really take the time to understand the business up front. I want to know, you know, how the team is structured, why it's structured that way, what decisions have been made in the past. I try to watch if they're available, some recordings of past, you know, like team standups or quarterly business reviews, things like that, just so I can get up to speed and have a really valuable conversation with sales leaders when I first meet them. I don't want to come in and just be like, so what keeps you up at night? I want to be able to actually have a discussion with them and have it be, you know, valuable for them and valuable for me. So that's where I start before I, you know, begin those introduction meetings. And then what I really try to do when we're actually getting programs out the door is be able to measure the impact. So I think if I can go back to sales leaders and say, you know, these are the programs we've done in the last quarter, this is the actual impact that they have. If you can do that for a couple quarters, it really builds trust with sales leaders, and it really, you know, encourages them to come to you early, grow partnerships with you and strategies together. And then you're kind of off to the races at that point. So if you can prove yourself and prove the impact that your programming is making to their bottom line, the things that they really care about, then they want to bring you in earlier and they want to build stuff with you. And that's where you get to the really good programming where you can actually, you know, have discussions early on about what it's going to look like.
That makes a lot of sense. And then I guess off the back of that, is there a particular key stakeholder that throughout your career you've found is really important? Maybe outside, you know, people think sales leaders, of course, you got to sort of work with them, but there's also these collaborations with marketing and product marketing and these different groups. How have you sort of, have you found any of those partnerships particularly impactful in your career?
Yeah, I think product marketing is a great one, especially if you're working in tech where there's a lot of product releases and that's you know, a big chunk of your enablement strategy, making sure that the sellers are up to speed on the products, then product marketing is really key. I also think that, you know, having really strong relationships with more senior leaders too. So not just frontline leaders, because they're so busy and, you know, they've got 101 things to do. So strategizing with them can often be difficult, but, you know, working with more director level and senior level leaders who are thinking more of the bigger strategy of revenue, those are great people to partner with, because you can get in really early and either know the ins and outs of what's going on and what are some future plans, or you can really start to influence, you know, what kind of programming is really going to help hit those targets. So that senior level of leadership is really important to partner with. But I also think sales operations or revenue operations is a really great place to partner with as well, especially if you want to know, you know, the ins and outs of the business and what impact our different programming is making. And partnering with those folks really helps you define, you know, what problems do we need to solve? Because oftentimes sales leaders will come to you and say, oh, I just know that we need help with X, Y, and Z. But if you can really dig into the numbers and the metrics of the business and prove that that's a real problem, then again, going back to being able to prove the impact, you can look back and see how your programming has impacted those metrics. So yeah, partnering with business operations is also really important too.
Absolutely. And I love how you can sort of pull out so many different names and so many different stakeholders, because it does just prove that that cross-collaborational piece is really at the heart of enablement. I do want to ask you, you sort of mentioned a couple of times now already about sort of proving the impact. How do you, not to put you on the spot, but how do you go about proving the impact? Because I think that's a major challenge, because maybe there's an element of things being intangible with sales enablement. Yeah. So how do you go about and actually tie your programs to the good results that they're obviously creating, but maybe are a little bit harder to see?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of slow down at the beginning of program development, and really take the time to define the problems that you're trying to solve. So I think often it's, you know, we need a training on X, Y, and Z, and you just jump in it and you build a training and send it out and great, we got great attendance or great completion rates on our course. And then we move on to the next thing. Well, what problem did you actually solve? Was it a skill problem? Was it, you know, a process problem? There's a hundred different reasons why, you know, training needs to be implemented or why a program needs to be implemented. So I think if you take the time to really define what problem you're trying to solve, can you prove it's a problem with metrics? Then once the program actually ships, you can go back and say, okay, did we solve that problem? Yes, then great. And, you know, it's something repeatable you can do. And if not, that's okay too. It just shows that you need to kind of, you know, you need to tweak your programming, or you need to, you know, maybe solve it in a different way. But I think defining that problem is key to be able to actually talk about the impact that you're having.
That makes sense. And is there any key metrics that you're sort of always looking at, or is it on that sort of case by case basis, as, you know, one program needs you to look at one set of metrics and so on?
I think it's definitely a case by case, but I try to, whatever the, you know, end goal is, I try to look at both leading and lagging indicators. So, you know, leading indicators would be things like, once you implement a program, is there immediate change? You know, have like opportunity creation metrics gone up? Or if you're using a tool like Gong, are people actually, you know, talking about the things you want them to? And is there an immediate change in behavior? That's what I look for as soon as a program ships. And then I look for more of those lagging indicators, which are more of the business metrics, like, have we solved that actual program or that actual problem that we, you know, set out at the beginning? Or are we closing more deals? Are we generating more pipeline? Those things take a little bit longer to be able to measure. So it's important to be able to, you know, have both of those kinds of metrics to look at.
Did you know that this podcast is just one of SEC's many resources for sales enablement professionals? That's right. In fact, we have an entire suite of certifications for sales enablers. Whether you're new and earning your stripes or are a seasoned vet looking to learn new skills, we've got something for you. From bumper 13-hour certs that cover the fundamentals of sales enablement, 3-hour deep dives into essential elements of enablement like metrics or SKO, to courses designed explicitly for sales enablement leaders, you'll have the chance to tailor your professional development to your needs. Join the Sales Enablement Elite through first-hand teachings from leading sales enablement experts trusted by the largest companies in the world. Get Sales Enablement Collective certified today.
That makes sense, absolutely. And one thing I want to ask is, and you sort of, it comes back to that cross-collaborational piece as well, and it's something I've sort of liked to ask a lot of people because different organizations mm-hmm. do it quite differently, is do you have a sales enablement charter in 1Password, or have you used one in previous organizations? Because I think it was our landscape report that we did last year, it was pretty much 50-50 among mm-hmm. our respondents. So I find it really interesting to sort of get people's opinions on, do you have one? What sort of value do you get out of it if you do, or why don't you if you don't?
Yeah, we do at 1Password. We have a charter. And that's usually the first thing I ask when I join a new team is, do we have that? And if not, let's create one. Because I do think when you're building out a sales enablement organization, that's really key, because you need everyone to understand what sales enablement does, because I'm sure, as you know, doing a lot of these conversations, everyone defines it differently. So you need to get everybody on board with, at this organization, at this time, how are we defining sales enablement? What is our job? I think that's really important. And then getting buy-in from all those collaborators and making sure that they understand, you know, what are the best ways to work with sales enablement and what's my role in sales enablement. I think that's really important. And it can all be defined in that charter.
And how often would you go back and iterate upon that? Is it a quarterly thing, a yearly thing, or how static does that charter end up being, I guess?
Yeah, I think probably quarterly is a little too often. But I think it depends on, you know, how quickly the organization is growing and changing, and how often are they pivoting the revenue strategies. So I think probably, you know, annually is a good benchmark, give or take, you know, where the business is at.
That makes sense. And I guess coming back to sort of the 1Password and how you're working in sales enablement there, what does the sort of the team look like at the moment, and how do you fit into that, and how has the sales enablement team gotten on in sort of these first 3 months that you've sort of had the experience of it?
Yeah, so the sales enablement team is at a really exciting point here at 1Password. We're growing, which is awesome, especially, you know, in the current landscape of the tech industry. We have a great handful of program managers who come in with more of a strategic lens and think, okay, what do all the different teams need, and how can we kind of divide and conquer? Because there's a lot that we need to do. So that's a really great, you know, opportunity ahead of us. We also have a facilitator, a trainer who's like really hands-on during onboarding and who can really coach our reps and all the different, you know, customer-facing folks on the team. So it's nice to have that mix. And we're having lots of conversations about, you know, not just this year, not next year, but the, you know, few years to come, and talking a lot about how the revenue organization is going to be structured and how we can structure ourselves to support them. So we're definitely at early stages, I would say, but I love that kind of stage because you get to have those really long-term strategic conversations about how can we best structure our organization and, you know, create that sales enablement charter that's going to kind of set us up for long-term success. And we're also talking about a lot of really interesting roles that are kind of non-traditional, because we know that there's lots of different cool programs that the organization wants to implement. There's not really a place for them to live right now at 1Password, so maybe sales enablement could take those kinds of things on. So it's really cool to have that open runway and be able to experiment and kind of define our own path.
That's really awesome. And on that sort of piece with growing, I guess, is have you, throughout your career, have you sort of seen a trend? I think something that we see is maybe how many reps is too many, or the enablement mm-hmm. to rep ratio. How do you sort of work around that? I guess, what does that look like at the moment at 1Password, and how do you view, like, how many reps is too many, really? Yeah, and maybe when is it time to expand your team?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a perfect formula or a ratio to it. I think it, again, depends on the business needs. And I think it depends on the kind of maturity model of your sales organization. So if there's not a ton of structure and there's a lot of experiments going on, then I don't think you need a huge enablement team, because in order to put in place really long-term strategic programming, you need some structure and you need a lot of decisions made and you need a lot of sales strategies put in place. So if those things don't exist, then I don't think you need a huge sales enablement team. You just need people that are scrappy, that can come in, that can, you know, start to put some structure around things, but just get things out the door that are going to be really impactful. And I think once the sales organization starts to grow, the leadership team grows and more of those long-term strategies come into place, then you can hire more senior enablement folks to come in and really put some structure around those decisions and build out long-term programming.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it is so critical sort of to tie it to the business growth. One thing I want to ask you is coming at slightly on a more like personal note, I guess, with your experience in enablement, and like if you could go back to the beginning of your career in enablement and give yourself a piece of advice, so what would that advice be? Because I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of hurdles and missteps and things like that. If you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you sort of be? And I guess it's also a word to our listeners who are starting their careers and they can learn, sort of learn from that as well.
I think the advice I would give myself is to just be more proactive and not be so afraid of failure. You know, it's really hard to know what's going to stick and what's not going to stick when you're introducing new enablement programs. So I would just tell myself to kind of jump in with both feet and be proactive and try new things and experiment and really try to work to get, you know, a seat at the table with those sales leaders. I think early on in my career, I just waited for sales leaders to come and tell me what they needed, and then I would build it. But I think if I had the opportunity, I would really make it a priority to grow those partnerships earlier on, so I could have a more proactive voice at the table.
That's really awesome. I think that's really good advice as well. I think hopefully sort of listeners will take that on board if they've been struggling with that as well. I do want to ask, in terms of enablement and I guess how it's developed and how it's sort of grown as an industry almost, where do you see it going in the future? Because there's things like new technologies coming in, there's, you know, AI is sort of taking over everything. So where do you see enablement sitting in 2, 3, 5 years time, for example?
Yeah, I mean, the AI piece is interesting. I think that, you know, enablement needs to become more sophisticated with tooling. And I think we see that with things like Gong, or, you know, even Salesforce and really utilizing the technology there and getting great insights into the business. I think enablement needs to be able to use metrics and be more data driven. And AI is a great tool for that. I also think that it's really interesting, all the different enablement conferences I go to or the different networking events that I attend, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was all about onboarding and everybody was just focused on onboarding and sales skills. But now it's really shifted into more long-term strategic programming, which I think will continue. So things like, you know, early talent development and getting new sellers in the door and making sure that they're set up for success, or working on things like, you know, putting strategy around like outbound. So I know that that's a big thing. Most of the organizations that I've gone to, that's something that they struggle with. And it's something that, you know, enablement can come in and make sure that those cross collaboration conversations are happening and can be the project managers and can come in and say, okay, let's put together our outbound strategy and what resources and skills and products or processes do we need in order to really build a really strong outbound function. I think that's just one example of, you know, those long-term strategic programs that enablement can own, because it's a struggle to find somebody in organization to really own those things. So I'm hoping that that's where enablement goes. And again, just works towards more being that like strategic partner within the organization instead of just doing one-off trainings.
Absolutely. And one thing, speaking of ownership, I'm sort of keeping one at the time at the moment, but in terms of ownership, how do you sort of deal with, like, for example, content creation and things like that? Is that something where enablement is doing it and you get someone in to sort of create content, or you work? It's obviously there's this cross collaborational piece, but there's, I think, like you said, is that part of the charter and making sure that every single sort of definition is in there in terms of, say, SKO, onboarding, content, all has to be outlined in there, or is there a degree of flexibility?
I think there's a degree of flexibility, but I also think that would be great to include in the charter and, you know, really be upfront about who's responsible for content creation. So, you know, we talked about that partnership with product marketing before. I've seen it, especially at 1Password, where product marketing is creating a ton of amazing content that I can just utilize. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I can utilize the stuff that they're already building, which is fantastic. But I've also worked at organizations where, you know, there isn't a lot of that partnership and enablement has to create a lot of stuff from scratch, which is fine too, but we're not always the right person to be creating that content, right? So I think it depends on, you know, again, the maturity of the business. And I think you can be upfront with leadership and finance around, you know, this is how many enablement resources and bodies we have. And maybe there's just not enough people to be churning out content at the rate that you need it. So you need to bring in an enablement tool or buy some courses online or use something like LinkedIn Learning or whatever that looks like, right? I think there's ways to either be responsible for creating content internally or outsourcing that when you just don't have the capacity to do it on your own.
That makes a lot of sense. And just before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, what is, I guess, your favorite part of being an enablement? What sort of gets you up out of bed each morning when you're sort of, what excites you about it?
I think really seeing the impact that you have on other people's careers and making, you know, their life a little bit easier and seeing them achieve their goals and being able to tie it back to a program that you put in place or a skill that you taught them. I think, you know, I'm not quite there yet at 1Password because I've only been here for a few months, but when you really have those strong relationships with not only sales leadership, but the actual sellers, and you can see the difference you're making in their day to day, that's what really, you know, drives me forward and makes me love sales enablement.
100%. I'd say that must be so rewarding, especially mm-hmm. seeing people sort of grow like that. I think that is unfortunately all we have time for. But Emily, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners did as well. So just thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss a thing. Hungry for more sales enablement content? Visit our website, salesenablementcollective.com, for articles, events, podcasts, and a quick and easy way to join our Slack community, home to thousands of your sales enablement peers.